Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources Quarter 3 2007 Financial Results Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third quarter 2007 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Limited on Thursday, November the 1st, 2007. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements, either expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and the projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievement to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or to revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. I would like now to introduce our chairman, Mr. Steven Dean.
Thank you, Aurora. Good morning or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, depending on where you are. Welcome to our Q3 2007 conference call, designed to elaborate and discuss our release yesterday, disclosing our quarterly financial results for the Q3 2007, and also updating investors and shareholders on recent activities. Earnings were just under $6.6 million for the September 30 quarter, lower than the $8.2 of Q3 2006. The difference is almost exclusively due to higher power costs that I'll elaborate on shortly, but the power costs are nationwide pricing, which is in relation to shortages of energy in Chile, relates to a number of factors, but primarily in connection with shortages of gas supply or limitations on gas supply into Chile for power generation from Argentina. But that was the principal reason for slightly lower earnings. Our production results, in fact, were positive, and all other costs, with the exception of power, were within budget or thereabout. Earnings per share as a result was $0.07 a share. Under the new accounting rule that started in January 1 of this year, we also report what's called other comprehensive income, and that other comprehensive income relates to, in this case, about $3.4 million of appreciation of our investment in Candente Resources. Just to emphasize so that people are aware of this new income classification, this income is not included in our net earnings after-tax line that I mentioned before, $6.6. This is another category of income. It represents an unrealized gain, and the accountants have invented this new category called other comprehensive income, which is not allowed to be flowed through the earnings line but is recognized anyway as other comprehensive income. Anyway, that's what that significance of that amount is, $3.4 million other comprehensive income, and you'll see that in the financial statements in the retained earnings section. the main factors that have impacted this quarter's earnings, as I've mentioned, is the power cost. But there are other factors affecting a comparison of Q3 2007 with the Q2 2007. In other words, the previous immediately preceding quarter. There was industrial action, a strike by some of the subcontractors working for Codelco at the El Teniente division, which resulted in, for a period there, quite significantly lower production of tailings, fresh tailings, for us to process. There was also an adjustment of just under $400,000, which related to smelter and refinery costs that were understated in Q2 2007, immediate preceding quarter, by mistake, and as a result, this Q3 quarter is wearing that additional cost. In addition to that, this Q3 2007 quarter fell on a weekend, and as a result, we lost, which related to the
Wie lange?
So, 3 Tage, heute den ganzen Tag.
Ja, er kommt zur Verkündung.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our president, who's on the road at the moment at an investor conference in Europe, and he doesn't appear to have his phone muted, and that's why you'll hear some unusual language in the background. Klaus, can you hear me?
Yes.
Could you mute your phone for the time being?
Sorry?
Could you mute your phone? The background noise is interrupting the call.
Okay, well, you want me to get off then?
No, no, just mute the microphone.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dean, this is the conferencing agent. Would you like me to mute Mr. Lightfoot's line until you're ready to put it off?
Yes, please. Thank you. You can do that. Thanks, operator. So the combination of the extra smelter and refinery costs, actually, which related to the previous quarter, and 3 days of concentrate production of copper and moly on hand at month's end, did have an impact on the earnings, in addition to the other factors that I've mentioned. Notwithstanding that, production was 71% higher than the previous corresponding quarter of 2006, 8.05 million pounds of copper, and 150,000 pounds of moly. In comparison to Q2 2007, production was 14% lower for copper and 25% for moly, mainly, as I said, due to the effects of winter and the strike action by workers or subcontractors of Codelco El Teniente division. On the positive front, in terms of production, I'm pleased to advise that post the end of Q3 2007, in other words, in early October, we commenced an increase in production in processing of tailings by 10 to 15,000 tons per day from old tailings. We would expect that would result in a higher production in Q4 2007 of both copper and moly, and the extension of that would have us ramping up production in 2008. Cash flow for the Q3 quarter was $4.8 million. That was lower than the previous corresponding Q3 quarter last year, and that's almost exclusively related to increases in sales in comparison to that quarter, and the fact that much of those sales at quarter end had not yet been received as and were debited to account receivables, and that cash flow, of course, is now is now coming through our books in this current quarter. In accordance with our policy, we continue to maintain our regular dividend payments. We paid a 6.5-cent Canadian dividend on July 30 for a total of $5.8 million. And earlier in the year, we paid a 6.5-cent Canadian dividend on February 24, 2007. First copper price was $3.59 after settlement adjustments, which and our realized copper price was $3.21 after all of those adjustments, refinery charges and settlement adjustments to prior quarter sales. Our cash costs, understandably, are much higher than they were in previous quarters, once again almost exclusively related to those higher power costs that we share with all other industry in Chile. I'm also pleased to announce that we've commenced a project which will allow us to become more independent in our energy requirements. We have commenced a project which will have us acquire two previously used generators, 10 megawatt generator sets, which will be sufficient at least for the time being to generate sufficient power for to run our plant. These units will be run from bunker fuel oil, and as a result, we expect them to be competitive in cost per kilowatt hour, and certainly more efficient and lower cost per unit than, say, diesel-powered units. We would envisage that gives us not only the independence to having a surety of energy supply, but it also allows us potentially to generate our own power when costs due to supply constraints in Chile and delays potentially in the commissioning of new energy supply in Chile might be delayed or pushed back in a time schedule. As we said in previous conference calls, Chile has, and the Chilean government has a series of projects underway. Some are expansions of existing hydro capacity. Some are new hydro projects. In addition to that, and in an effort to replace the curtailed gas supply from Argentina, the country has commenced a major LNG project, which will have a large port and terminal facility built on the coast in Chile, which will allow additional gas supply, LNG gas supply, to supplement the non-hydro facilities in their power generation. All of these are scheduled to come into commissioning over the next 2, 3, and 4 years, and should be more than sufficient to satisfy the energy demand requirements in Chile. Having said that, we believe it's in the interests of our business and our shareholders to take destiny into our own hands and to ensure that we have our own supply of energy. And we can also potentially use that to optimize our power costs by generating our own power when and if the peak charges are in excess of our own costs to generate that energy. The total cost of that project is approximately $9 million, and we've invested about half of that to date. And we expect commissioning of these plants in and around March or April of next year. Capital plant additions during the quarter, $4.5 million. essentially, with the exception of the energy project, they are sustaining capital. Our cash balance as at September 30, the end of quarter, was just over $26 million, and that's after dividend payments of $11 million during the year and investment in Candente resources and payments of $8.4 million in capital expenditures on a year-to-date basis. That brings to an end my comments. Would like now to open the conference call to questions. Available for questions are Aurora Davidson, our CFO, and on the line also is our president, Dr. Klaus Weidler, and of course myself, and we'll all endeavor to respond to your questions as best as we can. So, operator, happy to now to throw the meeting open to questions, and perhaps we can unmute our noisy president's line.
Thank you. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset and then press star 1. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There'll be a brief pause while participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. Our first question is from Raymond Golby of Toronto. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I have two questions, the first of which is for your future copper smelting and refining fees. Should we now be assuming market rates?
Yes.
And the second question was with respect to your intention of generating most of your own electricity. Well, I think, as you said, it's dependent on the cost of producing it. You gave the capital cost as $9 million. What would be the operating cost per kilowatt hour of electricity that you produce at current Bunker C prices?
Well, I guess you would have to make an assumption what the future oil prices, for instance, are. Then we could say what the electricity costs are.
Well, at current Bunker C prices.
Sorry?
At current Bunker C prices, what would your cost be?
Well, Bunker C prices at present prices?
Yes.
Would be around 10 to 11 cents.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Steve Laksiak of Toronto. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned the extra feed that you are getting now. Did you say it's from existing tails, or is that colliways, or is it from fresh feed from the mine?
Yes, it's the old tails.
What do you mean by old tails?
Well, the tailings which have been deposited for decades.
Okay, you're talking about the colliways.
In the past.
So yeah. This is the colliways tails.
Yeah.
Well, we are calling them old tailings because you never know where they come from.
Okay. All right. And what rate will that ramp up to?
Well, eventually we will ramp up to our goal, what we have always said, of approximately 60 million pounds per annum. But this will be a gradual process, as Stephen said in his presentation. We are starting at a low rate of throughput from these tailings, and then we'll increase it over time. The other thing which you have to consider there is that these tailings have different grades. So depending on which area these tailings come from, they will be higher or lower grades. And the other consideration which you have to make is that when you start out with these tailings, you start out at the top, and the top usually is much more oxidized than layers which are lower. So it will be a gradual increase of our copper production and moly production over time, while we start out with these old tailings.
Okay. But all the permits and all these other issues that you had with in terms of getting this going again, that is all resolved by now?
At this point, they seem to be resolved. As you know, this is not all in our hands. We have to work with El Teniente, from which we receive the tailings.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Alfred Stewart of Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Hi, Stephen and Klaus. I was just going to ask the same question that Mr. Lysiak did, but perhaps I'll ask another question, and that is, will you intend to use these generators that you're purchasing, or are these standbys for emergencies when electrical power from the Chilean grid is out?
I think we will, if everything stays as we now know in the field of electric energy in Chile, then we have every intention to use them, as Stephen said, for the time where electricity costs from the grid are higher than the electricity costs for which we can produce with these generators. And since there is quite a seasonal change of electricity costs in Chile, there's particularly during the period of April, May to approximately September, it has to be in the past, it's our experience that the electricity costs are higher during that period than they are during the period of October to March. And therefore, we feel from what we know today, that we will probably at least use these generators for about half of the year. And that's why we want to have these generators ready by March, April next year, because this is where probably the high cost energy will come from the grid.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'll just elaborate on that question too. This energy situation in Chile has, I think, caught everyone by surprise. It's a function of a whole series of things. It's a function of politics between Argentina and Chile. It's a function of Argentinian demand for their own gas. It's a function of oil and coal prices. It's a function of unseasonal weather, which really impacted the hydro facilities this year. As Klaus says, the seasonal aspect, given the hydro relationship, is very much a function in around May, June, July of the year. But it's a very dynamic situation. It depends on how quickly and how efficiently and how well the various facilities can be brought into production, the new facilities, the hydro and the LNG, and whether they're brought in on time or not. Interestingly, our biggest competition in buying these gensets were local competition. We're certainly not the only company in Chile who are installing their own generating facilities, and so these sets are very much in demand. And finally, it depends on whether we head back to the 5 or 6 cents a kilowatt hour regime that was a couple of years ago. That's where all the experts projected to go again, but it's just a question of when and whether there's some peak crises due to weather and the other factors that I've talked about in the meantime, and we're just not prepared to be caught with our pants down, so to speak. So we're making this relatively modest investment, and we're confident that if we, in the end, we don't need them, then they're very saleable items. I think the final point that I want to emphasize once again on this project is that we need a series of approvals, and we expect those to come. These are operating permits and environmental approvals, etc. We have no reason to believe we won't get them, but we still have to get them, and they're probably a couple of months or so away.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Mark Thomas of Mont Tremblant. Please go ahead.
Yes, in the last couple conference calls, I've gotten a feeling that we're not getting the whole story. And my question was going to be about the 10 to 15 tons of fresh tailings. The last time we had a conference call, you mentioned that the grade in those tailings is a lot better, in Collyhose, I think the name is. And but you, I think it was either mentioned in the conference call or on the web page that there's also another place where we can get tailings. Now, what I think I'm hearing is that we're actually going and getting them from that new place, and we're still not in Collyhose. Is that possible?
No. What we decided to do was we want to call these tailings old tailings because you are right. In the future, they may come from different places. And we don't want to confuse the market, you know, whether they are coming from here or there. All these tailings, all these old tailings have higher costs, have higher grades. The other reason why we don't want to mention where they come from is because if we do that, we need the approval of El Teniente because it has to go through their communications department. And we have experienced that if we want to do that, we cannot make timely disclosures because, as you may well know, Codelco is a state company, and with state companies, things always take time. And we don't want to be dependent from their timetable by requiring these, I mean, I don't want to call it permits, but their word that they are okay with what we are saying, and therefore we'd rather concentrate on what we are doing, and we don't need, in that case, their approval for press releases and for public disclosures.
Okay, so if I understand, we've finally reached another step where we're getting back to these old tailings, and we're trying to tiptoe through the tulips without drawing too much attention and slowly ramp it up. Is that what you think?
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
And sir, if I can just add, you know, I'm disappointed, and I'm sorry that you feel that. You had to make the comment that you're not getting the full story. I'd like you to consider the challenges that we have. You know, we are a very different beast insofar as a copper producer. Insofar as we are very, it's a symbiotic relationship with the largest copper producer in the world. And in the context of them, we are a small guy. And so, to the extent that we have pass on information in our press releases, in our conference calls, etc. It's never intended for them for it to be half truths or misleading in any fashion whatsoever. We are simply passing on what we are told by our partner in El Teniente. Now, the reality is that they have other priorities and they change their position, and they change their position regularly. And what you'll also hear is that, you know, our vigorous attempt at keeping the market informed has sometimes backfired on us and has reflected badly on the management's credibility. And that was never our desire or intent. We're simply hoping that we were passing on in a diligent way the information that we in turn receive. The frustration is that we are, in many ways, are not in control of our destiny because of the unique nature of our operation. And so to the extent that it doesn't turn out that way, it's not for the want of trying by management. It's because our partner has other priorities. Similarly, our partner also is hypersensitive, particularly in the last year or so, to any matter which has any connection whatsoever to environmental issues. You need to go and live in Chile to understand how the environment issues in relation to the environment are very, very important these days, and are very, very important because Codelco is a state-owned company, and so as a result, they have been the target by the local press of lots of media coverage. And so many of these guys over the last year or so who are senior managers in this company have lost their position because of some of these issues and the highlighting in the press of some of the challenges that the state-owned company has had. And we are only just a minor partner in their business. And so, as I said, I'm sorry that you feel that you're not getting the full story. It has been on our part that we've tried to give the full story, but sometimes that doesn't always turn out to be the case because circumstances change and we're told to do something different. There are significant benefits of the relationship and the partnership we have with Teniente. This is a very unique company. It has a long, long-term contract. Even during the most difficult times that this company has had to endure, we have remained extremely profitable, and we have done our best in each quarter to optimize our earnings in the circumstances given to us, most of which are not within management's control. We have maintained dividends. We've maintained high levels of profitability throughout all of that period. We'd like to do better. We know you would like us to do better, and that's what our challenge is day to day, and that's where our focus is. For example, we've taken proactive steps to deal with the energy issue by introducing the project of the self-generation of power. But please know that it's never our intent to give you the half the story. You have to understand the sensitivity that we have to deal with. And if there is any suggestion that you feel like you may not be getting the full story, it's only because there are some sensitivities in relation to the various issues that perhaps you're not always going to appreciate.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I just found that an announcement like the fact that we're now getting old tailings, I would have thought that would have been bright and clear in the press release yesterday. So,
well, it was only a recent thing, and it was in the press release. It was in the headline. It was the number two headline of the press release. For simplicity purposes, you'll see us now referring to these tailings as old tailings. One of the problems we've had is that 99% of the people have difficulty in pronouncing Kaliwet, so old tailings is much easier to say.
Okay, well, I appreciate that answer.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question is from Miroslav Vukomanovic. Please go ahead.
Hi, I was just wondering if you guys can clarify something about the moly production. It says that the moly grades and concentrates were lower compared historically. Can you just give me some background on that?
Well, you can appreciate El Teniente is a big, big mine. I mean, it's the biggest underground mine, copper mine in the world. It has, you know, thousands of kilometers of underground workings. So every day, the ore which is produced comes from different areas. And of course, every ore body is not homogeneous. There are areas with higher, areas with lower moly, areas with higher copper, areas with lower copper. You may or may not know that Codelco produced over the years, annually, approximately 55 million pounds of moly. Then in the last few years, it tremendously increased that production. And probably they were able to do that by concentrating on areas where the moly content was very high. Right now, obviously, we are going through an area where the moly content is lower. But as history has shown, this will change again, and we will get into areas again where the moly content is higher. So it's not something which one should be concerned about, because it will change. It always changes. It goes up and down. We still have we will significantly increase our moly production next year, for instance.
Okay, yeah. I was just wondering if it was possibly a recovery issue, but it's just according to Codelco's mine plan.
No, the moly content which we are receiving changes very, you know, it's not like copper, for instance, changes by 5%, by 10%. The moly content in the tailings and in the ore can change by 50 to 100%. Month over month or week over week.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you. Our next question is from Michael Colton of Dallas. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Not to extend the discussion on this Kilauea's thing too much, but just to clarify, you can't even say, because of your concern with communications with Codelco, you can't even say whether those additional tailings are coming from Kilauea's or not. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Why does that trouble you?
Why do you assume it troubles me? I just want to clarify that.
Okay, no, but I guess the point is that the old what we call the old tailings are essentially subject to the factors that Klaus mentioned about whether we're mining in oxidized material or and depending on where we're mining in any particular part of the tailings dam. These tailings are globally are fairly homogeneous. If the grades will vary, like all ore bodies for that matter, from week to week, month to month, year to year, but the bottom line is that they are higher grade, significantly higher grade than the fresh tailings, and that's why they're very attractive, and that's why we're seeking to optimize our recovery of them.
Well, I mean, I guess to clarify why I wanted to understand that is, you know, this is the Kilauea's and the other sources of old tailings are potentially large resources, and I think we in the market in general just wants to understand, is this going to be a continual thing, or is this, you know, something, you know, you've located old tailings in a pile somewhere and you're going to deplete them rather quickly. And
look,
so that's why.
Amerigo has a contractual arrangement with El Teniente, and both El Teniente and Amerigo, you know, have never had any discussions about this contractual arrangement. This contractual arrangement is intact as it was negotiated, and according to this contractual arrangement, we will continue to produce all the fresh tailings, And according to this contractual arrangement, we have the right to produce up to 45,000 tons per day of all tailings.
Put it this way, if we were to reach a new contract with other tailings, then we would announce that to the market.
Okay, I think I understand. With regard to the moly production, you were mentioning the, it just depends on what grades Codelco is hitting at the mine. Yeah, can you give us any insight of how the moly content looks since the end of the third quarter?
Since the end of the third quarter, it has continued to be relatively low in comparison to our average.
Okay. But the new tailings, the old tailings that you're processing, is that a higher grade?
Yeah.
As far as
right now, no. And you have to understand that when you followed us, you know that our production was very much adversely affected in the last year.